God, thank you for this time together we have. Grant us ears to hear your voice, Good Shepherd. By the work of your Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear and the will to follow where you lead, to trust you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I mentioned back when we were living out east, there was this place called Sheep Pasture. We loved to go there and wander around, and there were these sheep every spring playing in the field, doing exactly what I talked about, climbing up on the rock and jumping off. It is this image of the freedom that Christ offers us, this Good Shepherd offers us, that sense of freedom to actually rejoice, relax, enjoy the life that we've been given, to, as we'll talk about today, to follow the Good Shepherd who loves us with joyful confidence. This series, our sermon series right now, is following Jesus for a change. And we mean both that, you know, like, I haven't been following him for a while, so maybe for a change it's time to start following him. And also that if we follow Jesus, it will change us. So we talked about that sense of purpose that Jesus gives us. As the Father sent me, so I send you. We don't live anymore just for ourselves. We live for God's purposes in the world. Last week we talked about how following Jesus, if we're really listening to that Good Shepherd, it's going to change our perspective. That instead of seeing everything from the center of our universe, we begin to see as God sees, and we try to open our minds to see beyond our own biases and to see other people as God sees them, created in his own image, loving as God has loved us. This week, to talk about following Jesus with this joyful confidence, that you know, that image of that little lamb, just following and being able to enjoy the love of God, come what may, how important that is. This past week at our staff meeting, we were talking about this psalm. Every week at our staff meeting on Tuesdays, we spend at least half of it just meditating together, reflecting on the scripture for the upcoming Sunday. And as we talked about Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We were talking about how powerful these ancient words can be if we let them sink in. I want to invite you to do that this morning. These are some of the most familiar words in all of Scripture, and yet it's amazing how powerful, how alive God's word is for us when we take the time to meditate on it, to chew on it, to let it sink in. The Lord is my shepherd. I just want to think about that for just a moment, that line. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you realize who it is we're talking about when you say that? The God of the universe, the creator of all things, the God who loved us so much that he came to us in human flesh and lived among us, the God who loved you so much that he died for you and rose for you, who has overcome even death itself, no matter what you're facing, the Lord is your shepherd. If you've put your faith in him, if you've asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, that's what he loves to be for you. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, to meditate on that word, just that word alone, is my shepherd. There's no question about it. If you've asked him to be Lord of your life, he is your shepherd. It's not might be, could be, I'm hoping. He is your shepherd. You can trust him, come what may. The Lord is my shepherd. This is actually, this psalm is unparalleled in that move from the God of all people, the Lord of all people, to this very personal sense of the Lord is my shepherd. This is a huge shift for the Hebrew people in their thinking. That God's not just God for all people, but God is also God for me. And this is something Jesus really drove home when he came, and he would talk about Father as Abba Father, kind of that daddy in the Aramaic. That he told us when he rose from the dead, and he's speaking to Mary after the resurrection, he said, go and tell my brothers that my God and your God, my Father and your Father, that this is the offer that we have for you. So it's the Lord is my shepherd, that we can take that personally, we can hold on to that. And the Lord is my shepherd. Certainly that image that we talked about with the children here, but in the ancient world, the shepherd was also the image for the king. The king is supposed to be the person who protects, provides for all the people. That we trust God to be that protector, that provider, that guide for us, for good to happen in and among us. The Lord is my shepherd. And then that next line, that's just so great, I shall not want. At our staff meeting, some of the people were saying how as children they struggled with that. Like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, but I do want. Should I not want? Like, it's a command. I shouldn't want that candy, or I shouldn't want anything. Or another one said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You mean I shouldn't want the Lord to be my shepherd? Like, what does that mean? Of course, what it means is, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Or, I love the way the New Century Version puts it in a positive fashion. The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. No matter what it is that I'm facing, no matter what the challenges are, I have everything I need. Would you say that with me? The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. So for those of you this morning who are facing physical challenges, life is getting really difficult. Your body's just not cooperating, or maybe it's a loved one who's going through an incredibly difficult time with physical ailments, with cancer, with whatever it might be. And for you, I want all of us to say together for you, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. If you're going through an emotionally difficult time right now, maybe you're struggling with depression. Maybe you're struggling in a relationship. Maybe a relationship has come to an end and you're not sure what's going to happen. You're just at rock bottom. I want us to say for you the truth of the scriptures, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. You know, some of you are at a point in life where you're so anxious, you're worried, you're not sure what tomorrow is going to bring. You're not sure what the path ahead is going to look like. You're not sure which way you're going to turn. I want you to know that God is with you. I want you to know, let's say it for them, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. You know, some are going through deep grief. You've lost a loved one. Somebody has passed away or left your life, and it just seems like you're never going to climb out of that place. I want you to know that the Lord is your shepherd. You've got everything you need. And what is it that for you, you're facing? What's the challenge ahead in your life? What is it that you're anxious about in our world? Hey, there's plenty to be anxious about, isn't it? Isn't there? You think about our nation. You think about the nations of the world. We can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I want you to take that home, to let it sink in. Whatever it's you're facing, and to be looking for how God will provide for you. This psalm has so much to it. We could spend a whole sermon series on it. Maybe we should do that sometime. But let me just point out a few things that I'd invite you to kind of hang your hat on, to be able to take home today. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. The psalm says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. I love the fact that this psalm starts with this sense of rest and renewal in our lives. That, you know, for me, when I'm starting to get anxious, I'm starting to worry, I'm feeling like there's a lot to do, it's important for me to remember the first thing I need to do is rest in God. To be renewed in God's word, to feed on that word of God that gives me strength. I've talked about this before, but I love the fact that for the Hebrew people, the day starts at night, right? At the time of rest. The first thing you do when the day begins is you go to bed. You start resting up. How important for us spiritually, emotionally too. for us in our lives to start by resting in the love of God, being renewed in the Word of God, in the fellowship of God's people, to receive that so we go into the week ahead, into the day ahead, strong. This is where it all begins, with that sense of rest, that sense of renewal. He leads me in right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. I love the fact that the promise of God is that we will have the guidance and the protection that we need in life. We're just not as wise as we would like to be. We don't have all the answers for the challenges that come our way, but we can trust that God will guide us, that God will protect us as we go forward. My daughter and I were talking about this, through the darkest valley. We were talking about this earlier in the week. I love the fact that, like the King James says, through the valley of the shadow of death, because that is and sometimes seems like the darkest valley possible. But the Hebrew really talks about the dark valley, which we know doesn't include just death, dark as that is for us, mysterious as that is. But that for some of us at times in our lives, we feel like what we're going through is, it'd be easier almost if we weren't here. But we've got to walk through this valley anyway. And to trust that God is with us through this dark valley. And in fact, this is what I was talking to my daughter about, is how it's actually been in those times of deepest darkness that I've grown the most, that I've learned the most. And this is what the next part of the psalm gets at, where it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." I love this image of God preparing a table for us in the presence of our enemies. It's in that dark valley. It's in that difficult place. It's when it seems like we're going to be overwhelmed by the foes of our life. That may well be the very place, the very time in which you gain what you need for the rest of your life. I think about how I've grown up, even as an adult, when I've been going through difficult times, and I've learned, I've grown through it. Part of the challenge, part of the opportunity for us is to look for the nourishment that God offers us, especially when the going is tough. We talked earlier this year about the practice of counting our blessings, starting the day, thinking ahead to the day. Okay, God, thank you that I have the opportunity to go to work or to school, even if you have mixed feelings about that. What's the blessing that we name? As you look back on the day, to pick three or five things and just say, God, thank you for that person that smiled at me. Not just the person who cut me off in traffic, but remember that person who let me in. What is it? Where are the blessings been? And to pay attention to them, to where God has nourished you and fed you through the people around you. That God does bless us. I love this line, surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Some translations put it, pursue me. That idea of like the dog nipping at your heels, but with good. Here's some more. Here. Would you notice? Would you take it? Would you pick it up? That's what God is doing for us. He has blessings, but sometimes we're just too busy. We're too anxious to notice, to pick it up, to receive the gifts that God offers us, and for us to look for it, expect it. And that word mercy, I just love that. That's been meaningful to me this week. Surely your goodness and your mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I love that mercy piece because God knows I need mercy. As a pastor, as a parent, as a husband, my role in our denomination, the different hats that you wear, certainly for me, I try hard to do it really well all the time, and I don't do it well all the time. I stumble, I fall, I don't know it all. Thank God that His mercy chases me down. His mercy follows me, forgiving me, wiping away my shame, my guilt, and saying, I love you. I love you. Your mercy follows me, pursues me, hunts me down. Thank you, God. And I love how, as it ends, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Many of us know it from that sense of forever. And that's important too. You know, we think about how we're going to be okay forever. When somebody dies or when we face death, we think it's going to be okay because forever God has us. That's important. But actually, in the Hebrew, it's for length of days, which means day after day after day, which is really good news too. Forever is great, but to think that we can be at home with God day by day by day, that God offers us security and home every day of our lives. I was thinking in the past couple of days about, you know, this idea in sports, how when you have that home field advantage, you know, how you have a little more courage, you got that cloud of witnesses surrounding you, cheering for you, praying for you, really, you know, like, come on, you can do it. I hope they can do it. That's what we've got. We got that home field advantage. God is with us, and God actually is our home. We're at home everywhere we go. Through every situation in our lives, we're secure. We're at home. God has us. And not only that, we've got the cloud of witnesses cheering for us, encouraging us, praying for us. Have you ever felt that when you've been off in a difficult situation or away from home for a while and you come home? You take off your shoes and you're like, oh, it's so nice to be home. That's the sense that God offers us every day of our lives, to realize that our home is right where we are, that God has us in the palm of his hand, that we're home right now, safe and secure. We can trust God, and we can venture forward with joyful confidence into whatever the future might bring. I love Jesus' words in Matthew 6. You remember where he says, look at the birds of the air. Look at the lambs, we might say, in the field. How much more does your heavenly Father care for you? So we can venture forward with joyful confidence. Amen? Amen. Almighty God, good shepherd, we praise you. You who have overcome even death itself, who have shown us that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it, who has shown us that even through that valley of the shadow of death, there is a bright light and a great hope, an eternal life beyond. We thank you that through the various valleys of our lives now, you are with us every step of the way, that we can be secure in your love and venture forward with joyful confidence, trusting your love. Oh, Lord, we praise you. You are our shepherd. We have everything we need. In our security, grant that we would have the joy of being a part of you providing what others need. Love, hope, food and water. God, grant us the joy of both celebrating being cared for so well and of being a part of your care as we joyfully go forward to serve others in your name. Amen.